night, Miss Freeman called the house and told us they were having brake problem tonight. Told Miss, she said I'd tell it, so I figure I will. Amen. Figure she said give me liberty to tell it, so you know I go ahead and tell it. She called the house. She said tell the preacher. Said give them both barrels. The reason she told that, she wasn't going to be here. It's easy to talk about it when you ain't going to be here, right? But she's a crazy lady, ain't she? I love her, though. I love Miss Freeman, Dad, Brother Freeman. But she said, yeah, just bear back and give them both barrels. Give it all you got, preacher. What she don't know is this is the sweetest message in the whole passage. And so of all the messages I preach, this is probably the sweetest one out of Malachi. At least it seems that way to me. So if you have your Bibles, let's all stand tonight. And we'll begin reading. I want to begin back in verse number 13 just to read up to where we are tonight. Chapter 3, verse. I hope you've enjoyed some of this Malachi. Some of it's been hard as far as against our flesh, but it's been good for our spirit. Amen. It's been good for our spirit. And a lot of times we have to crucify the flesh so the spirit can get some help. Amen. And God sure has been blessing. Amen. God's been good to us. And so I hope it just reminds you, helps you tonight. Look at verse 13, Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them. Amen. I didn't make that up tonight. It was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Look at verse number 17 to be our passage tonight. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day that when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Tonight I want to preach on just a jewel for Jesus, just a jewel for Jesus. And I just want to preach on the attributes of a jewel and the Christian, look at the Christian life, an attribute of a jewel, and just see the truth of what he said here when he makes up his jewels. Well, you know, that's what God's doing now. He's just picking up jewels. Amen. He's just getting ready for the crown. He's getting ready to show off. Amen. And what he's going to do is take a bunch of jewels to heaven one of these days. I think it's going to be real soon. I think the jewels are gathering together quickly. Amen. I don't think I've ever known a time when I see as many, at least in my lifetime, I haven't seen as many churches seeing folks get saved at this moment that I'm seeing right now. And that amazes me, Brother Tony. I mean, it's all over. Brother, our missionary in New Zealand emailed me the other day and said he sent out tracts, and someone went as far as 6 hours away, and people got in conviction and got saved under the tracts, getting tracts in the mail. And one of the men got saved, got a hold of his sister, told her about it. She got saved. And then trying to find a church. She wants to go to church, wants to get things. She's already given her testimony, but she wants to get in church, wants to get baptized. And couldn't find a church that would baptize her. They don't do that at a certain time of the year. He said, you got the wrong church. And he told them about the church, the Independent Baptist Church, where our missionary is. And Lord willing, she's going to come to town and join that church and baptize her Sunday morning. Said, so the only thing they're looking now, they got to figure out the tides, when the water's going to be in and out. Because they had to do them in the tides. Isn't that something? But you pray for them. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? And I told him back, I said, it's good to have missionaries like yourself that are both faithful and bearing fruit on the field. Let's go, Lord, in prayer tonight. Dear Father, thank you for all things you've given us tonight. Lord, I pray that we would take advantage of the night, Lord, redeem the time. And Lord, soak up the Word of God and use it in our hearts. And Lord, make it profound to us tonight. And then, Lord, I pray when we leave this place, we'll go out with the joy that we have and find in the Word of God and strengthen our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You be seated. I'm going to preach on tonight once again, just a jewel for Jesus, just a jewel for Jesus. And truly, this is a topical message. I don't normally do a lot of topical messages because I love expositional messages. Love them that way. But as I was reading through this passage, I just didn't see any way not to preach through the Bible, topically, about these jewels. And so I want to do that tonight. So look at it with me tonight. And first, I just want to give you a few things about a jewel. Number one, the affordability of jewels. The affordabilities. There's a purchase price on a jewel. If you're going to have it, you're going to have to pay for it. Amen. And truly, the Lord Jesus paid for the jewels that he's purchased. The Bible said in Matthew 13:46, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And truly, Brother Tony, when the Lord Jesus decided to buy the jewels of the church and buy the jewels, he truly gave his best. Amen. He gave his only begotten son. Amen. That's what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so there's a price for the jewel, and then there's a purchase price, and then there's a perfect price. In other words, it was a complete price. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 7:23, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Don't be a servant of man. Be a servant of God. Don't be a man pleaser. Don't try to make everybody else happy in the world. Do what God says do. What Mary say, you've heard me say it many times, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Just do what God wants you to do. Don't try to please the world. Just please God. Amen. You'll be right if you do that. And then 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. I watched Miss Courtney walk in tonight, and she's never been mean towards me, and she's always smiling when she come in. But there's just a lightness about her when she walked in tonight. Mom, I hope you've seen something this week at home. But you know, I've noticed when people get saved, their eyes get brighter, their walk gets lighter, their smile gets brighter. Amen. That's just the fact of it. It's when you know you ain't going to hell and going the way to heaven. There's just something about being saved that's kind of special. Amen. And so that's a big day. That's a special time in your life. And it's a special time when you see folks get saved. Amen. And so we see the difference there. And then not only is it a perfect price and a purchase price, but it is a precious price he paid. The Bible says over in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, of silver and gold. God didn't buy us with silver or gold. That's not the price that he paid. But from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your father. We weren't saved by traditions, amen. But why were we saved? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so the affordabilities of jewels, they're expensive. Jewels are expensive. And Jesus paid a purchase price. God paid a purchase price. God paid a perfect price. And God paid a precious price. Amen. He don't owe anything on us. Amen. We have been redeemed. God's not making down payments on our salvation. Amen. He purchased us. And we are paid for. And we are bought with a price. Amen. Someone says that salvation is free. And that's true. But it's not cheap. Amen. It costs God his very best. And so, number one tonight, the affordability of the jewels. Then number two, the rarity of the jewels. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. What's it saying? It says the calling of the ministry itself is not many. It's not many. There's not many that are in the calling of the ministry. They're in the calling of work of Christ. But not only just the calling, but the count is low too. In the book of Luke, chapter number 12, verse 32, the Bible says this. Listen to what he tells them. He says, fear not, little flock. He didn't say large flock. He didn't say big flock. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so there was a lot of count. And boy, I'll tell you one thing. You look around. Really, there's not, you look at people who say they're saved. I mean, there's a difference in those that say they're saved and are saved. Amen. And many times you look around church and the count gets low. Amen. And you get ready to go knock on doors and the count gets low. And you get ready to live sanctified and separated unto God and the count gets low. But, you know, that doesn't bother God a bit. I mean, he said they'd take care of that little flock. It's good, it gives good pleasure to give them the kingdom. Amen. And then thirdly, you notice the corridor is rare. The Bible says in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. In other words, everybody's not going to get saved. Now it's not that God couldn't save everybody. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe him should not perish. He loved the world. The price he paid for me getting saved and Natalie getting saved and anybody else getting saved was enough to save everybody. But everybody's not going to get saved because that's a narrow way. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. You know, everybody just don't walk in the house of God and get saved. just because they show up at church. Everybody that just puts on a suit is not saved. Everybody that just carries the Bible around is not saved. But there's a narrower way. That narrow way is a single file way. Everybody comes to Christ one at a time. I've been in services where 10, 15, 20 people saved. That's wonderful. But they all got saved one at a time. Everybody had to come individually and get saved. Amen. And so we see that the corridor makes the jewels real rare. And then we see the cleansing of the jewels in Acts chapter 11, verse 9. It says, but the voice answered me again from heaven. Peter seen that vision, and God brought down that great cloth there, and that napkin was held down with four corners. He let that thing down, and there were all kind of creeping beasts and things like that. And he told Peter to eat. It's a vision now. It's a vision. He told him to eat. And Peter saw things that under the law was unclean to eat. And Peter said, Lord, I won't eat anything that's unclean. You know what God told him? He said this, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. If God reaches down and cleanses somebody, they're not common. They're not just like everybody else. They become different from that moment on. And they're special. Everybody in the church is special. Amen. I said in the church, I didn't say in the building. I said everybody in the church is special. Amen. Everybody saved is special. And they're special to God. And God paid a price for that. And God knows that it's special. And listen, we ought to treat each other. We ought to treat each other just that way. Because those jewels that he's gathering, there's a rarity about them. Well, I don't know about you, but at work or off work or around the neighborhood or anything, if I run into another Christian, man, it's like, I'm telling you, if I can talk just a few minutes and they're a Christian, I can talk a few minutes with, it's like an oasis to me. I mean, just for a few moments, man. I catch them at work. I got Bible on phone. I got sermons on phone. I called a guy down and said, wait a minute, let me show you this. I got to go, wait a minute, let me show you this. You got to see this. Amen. And I was talking about this in the message tonight. And I was talking about the rarity of those jewels, man. We all know shared. I'm not talking about cheating the boss, man. I work through my lunch hours. I do things like, well, what I'm talking about is just being excited about being saved. Amen. And enough when you see somebody else is saved, you just want to hang around a little bit. Amen. Just want to hang around a little bit. Because of the rarity of the jewels. Not everybody you walk outside this door is going to like you. But there's a few inside this door are. Amen. That's the reason when I say amen, I don't try to run out. I like just kind of hang around a little bit. I like to be early to church and late to leave. I mean, why would you not? Now, don't get mad at me if you don't want to do that. But I'm saying, you know, that's what I like to do. Because I like to be around God's people. It's better than anything on TV. Amen. Better than anything at Walmart. Amen, amen. I mean, I go to Walmart, but I can't think of anything in the world I like better than this. Can you? Amen. So the rarity of the jewels. Number three, the variety of the jewels. Not all the same thing. Not all the same way. Let me show you what I mean. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for as many are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. There's the measure. How do you know the measure, where it's a jewel or not? If it's led by the Spirit, they're sons of God. If God directs that person's path, if they're sensitive to the Spirit, you say, what do you mean? The Bible said, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of mine. If you've been saved, God, the Holy Spirit moves in on the day you get saved. I mean, you get. Some people talk about the baptisms of the Holy Spirit. There's not two baptisms. You don't get saved, and then you get another baptism. Now, I'm not talking about the water baptism. Water baptism is for testimony. But the Holy Spirit, the day you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism. Now, there's many fillings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because a lot of times we get ourselves in the way and God can't do what he all wants to do. We had to decrease so he can increase. Amen. There's fillings of the Holy Spirit. But there's one baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone says, I'm looking for a second blessing. I'm not. I got it all when I got saved. Amen. Got it all when I got saved. But I am looking to be filled on a regular basis with the Holy Spirit. You say, give me scripture. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so that's what we should be doing, filled with the Spirit. And so we see the measure of the jewel. So anybody that is led by the Spirit, amen, has the Spirit of God, is a jewel. Man, woman, grandpa, grandma, teenage boy, teenage girl, younger, junior, older, boy, girl, don't make no difference, black, white, Hispanic. They're filled and led by the Holy Spirit. They're one of those jewels. That's the measure of the jewel. That's how you can identify a jewel. But there is also the members. The Bible says over in Romans 12 and 3, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. And so God gathers some pearls, and God gathers some diamonds, and God gathers some rubies, and God gathers some sapphires, and God gathers a garnet, gathers all those different kinds. Not a bunch of robots, but a bunch of different jewels that every way in itself is a miracle. Amen. Everybody that gets saved is a miracle. And the variety of the jewel. And then the beauty of the jewel. The beauty of the jewel. You say, I'll tell you what makes a beautiful jewel beautiful is the color. That's not right. You say, I like, that's the color that makes the jewel beautiful. No, that's not right. It's not the color that makes it beautiful. It's the light that makes it beautiful. And you can take the reddest ruby, put it in a dark room, and you can't see it. It don't make it beautiful. You can take the greenest emerald, put it in a dark room, and you can't see it. Take a bright diamond, a pearl, don't make it dirty, put it in a dark room, it don't look a bit better than any other stone in a dark room. But you take that stone, that jewel, and you put it in the light, and you'll see something beautiful. Amen. I go look at Miss Rhonda, and sometimes I look at them, once they get a price, I have to put them back. Amen. But you know, you always got that spotlight around there when you look at them. And you look at, boy, you can hold them in a little bit in the shade, just a little bit of shade. They ain't near as pretty. Boy, you can walk over here, get that little spotlight, and then, boy, them things, all them things start showing off. Why? It's the light that makes the jewel beautiful. Let me show what I mean by that. The source of the light is found in John 8:12. Here's what it says. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so Jesus is that light, without a doubt. The source of light is Jesus. But did you know there's a season of light? There's a season of light. Let me show you this. I want you to take your Bibles. Turn over, hold your place in Malachi. But turn over to Daniel. Turn over to John chapter 5. The Bible says in Daniel 2:21, and he changes the times and the seasons. And he changes the time and the seasons. Okay? God changes the times and the seasons. Now look at John chapter number 5, verse number 35. Now y'all probably know all this, but this amazed me. Okay? I want you to give it to you. John chapter 5, verse 35. You got your Bibles open? The Bible says, he, that's John the Baptist, he was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now John the Baptist, when he was on earth, was a jewel that shined. Man, I mean, John the Baptist shined in a dark world. He had that light, didn't he? Yeah, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God. He knew God when he saw him. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God. And when he saw him, he had the light, and John shined for God. Amen. But there's a time when John's light, his season of shining on this earth, went away. Amen. We know that. I want to show you something, though. Look at John chapter 9. John chapter number 9. Now watch this. John chapter number 9. Look at verse number 4. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. This is Jesus speaking, right? Look at verse number 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But I want to ask you something. Is Jesus in the world today? No. He said, I go away. Now, he does come and be with us, and we know that. But physically, he's not in the world today. He was in the world physically for 33 and a half years. And let me tell you why he was here. He shined. Amen. His season of shining was amazing. And truly, his light shined in us. He's the source of the light. But the season of his light was during those 33 and a half years. That's when he shined here. Amen. But that season changed. And you know what happened after that season change? The Bible said he ascended to the Father. And they told those men, the men told them, said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing? This same Jesus we see go away shall come again in like manner. Even as you've seen him. Amen. Even as you've seen him. Now watch this. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 5. John had a season. Jesus had a season. So has the light gone out? Well, you know better than that. Shouldn't have gone out. Look at Matthew chapter number 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In Ephesians 5 and 8 verse says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What does that mean? It means when John was here, the light was shining on John, and John shone. And when Jesus was here, he was the light, and from him, the light shone. But whose season is it now to shine? It's our season. You're going to shine as long as the season that you're here on earth. But guess what? Seasons change. If I'm going to shine, I've got to shine now. If I'm going to live for the Lord, I've got to live now. If I'm going to be a testimony, I've got to be a testimony now. Because seasons change. Seasons come and seasons go. And once your season's over, you're not going to shine anymore. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Sad when you say, I used to shine. And you're still here. Sad when you say, I used to shine. And you're still here. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with you. Either you ain't got any more light in you, or you got too much dirt on you, or you're in darkness. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. That's the beauty of the jewels. What makes the jewels beautiful? The light. Amen. When God shines in our life, we become beautiful. Amen. Isn't it amazing that Brother Tony and God take somebody as mean, ugly as me and you and make us something for him? Somebody look at me and say, that's the ugliest man I've ever seen in my life. And I'd say, amen. I told my wife the other day, I walked inside her, she's standing there, we was getting ready, and I looked in the mirror, she looked at me, I said, you married an ugly man. But I'm glad you did. Amen. Y'all be quiet. Don't meet me out of service, talk about it. Amen. I'll sick my wife on you. What amazes me is that God can shine on me and make people want to sit there and listen. It's not my beauty. It's his light. It's his light that opens our heart up, opens people's light, that the light starts coming on. You say, man, I ain't never thought about that before. Because it's his light, not my light. Amen. Do you get that? Listen, don't ever forget what makes you beautiful. It's his light. That's what the devil did. The Bible talks over there in the book of Ezekiel 28, verse 13 through 17. He said, oh, he had all these jewels, and boy, he got caught up into it. You know, the Bible said he was embedded with jewels. He had jewels all over him. But the problem is, he was before the throne, and he looked around, and he said, man, look at me shine. But you know the reason he's shining? He's before the throne. Whose light was he shining in? God's light. The only reason he was beautiful is because he had the light. When he got out, he got dark. That's why the devil's so ugly today. Amen. He ain't going to like that one. The beauty of the jewels. Then number 5, the durability of the jewels. There are simulated and standards for jewels. The simulated are fake. Mark 4:16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arrive for the world's word's sake, immediately they are offended, they go away. The Bible says over there in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Will not endure sound doctrine. Those that will not endure sound doctrine, those that will not stand true to the word of God are those that are artificial, simulated, fake jewels. Amen. They can't take the pressure. You can take something and shine it up and polish it up and make it look like a jewel, but when pressure gets on it, it busts and goes away. It warps and goes away. A true jewel, it just don't. Amen? You got your Bibles open? Now watch this. Well, you don't have to turn here. But the standard, what is the standard for a true jewel? Well, number one, 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Diamonds have to breathe. They have a witness. Amen. They have to breathe. Put a diamond on a thing. If you ever turn a diamond, you got a diamond ring, you can take that diamond ring, flip over. Don't matter how it's made. If it's a true diamond, it's got to have a hole on the bottom of it. Do you know that? If you take a true diamond and you set it in a solid piece of metal, it'll bust it all pieces after a while. Because a true diamond has got to breathe. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard? It's got to breathe. You can take any diamond. If it's a diamond, flip over the bottom, it'll have a hole where that diamond has to breathe from that back side too. Every true diamond. Now, if you didn't buy your wife a true diamond, you're in trouble. Amen. You're in trouble. Every true diamond has to have holes on the backside of where it's mounted in. Has to. It's got to breathe. That's right. Y'all go home. I'll be checking it. Don't check it in church. Amen. It has to witness. It has to have breath in it. And that's what we're going to do. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And we see that jewels have to be tested. It's the way that they're proven. That test proves that they're real. We see that they also, and the Bible says in John 18:9, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Have I lost none. There's only two ways to lose a jewel. I know you ladies are going to be shocked. You ain't jewels on you. I'm going to borrow something. There are two ways you can lose a jewel. And this is it. Amen. She said, don't lose it. There are two ways you can lose a jewel. Let me make sure that's real. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Two ways you can lose a jewel. Number one, you can leave it somewhere. You can forget about it. But he said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Isn't that good? That's the first way. The second way, if the prongs that hold the jewel quit holding it on to it. But the good thing about it, what he say, of all that you give me, have I lost? God's prongs never get loose. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. Going home by grace. Amen. Not saved by works. That prong would come loose. Because then it depends on us to keep us safe. But grace wraps around us and holds us on. Isn't that good? Y'all might not like that, but I like it. Then the history of the jewel. I'm about done. You know, y'all know the history of a jewel. You know how jewels are, don't you? You just go out there and they're scattered off. You can find them anywhere. They look so pretty when you first find them. No, that's not true at all. In fact, most of us, if we could come across a real jewel, probably wouldn't even know it. We'd probably kick it around. Use it for something, sling it across the yard, bounce it on the pond for a ricochet rock. Because we wouldn't know the difference. But how are jewels found? Well, Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When God found us, he found us in sin, because that's how we was formed. I found out about diamonds the other day. They said diamonds over there in Africa, they have diamonds. They found out why there's so many diamonds over there. And what it is, that diamond has to come down from the bed, from way down in the fire. I mean, down there in the pits of the earth almost. And that thing comes up through, and when it gets just enough pressure, just enough heat, just enough right, it pushes those minerals up through that earth. And when it comes out top, it blows out all over the ground and all over through those sections. That's why there's so many diamonds over there. And they're just laying around everywhere. The Bible says, look how right the Bible is. Isaiah 51:1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you were digged. Amen. We were digged out of a pit. We were found in sin. What's the third thing we were? Psalms 41. To the chief musician, Psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet on a rock. Establish my goings. Brother Tony, that's how God found us. The truth of the matter is, the history of us is we was found in the worst place. Now, not only were we found, but every beautiful jewel has to be faceted. You know what faceting is, don't you? It has to be faceted. And what you have to do, that thing has to be cut on just the right angle. And it takes a very qualified jeweler to do it the right way. What he'll do, he'll begin to cut on that thing. He'll get just the right angles on it. He'll cut the bottom just right. He'll cut the top just right. So it doesn't matter which way the light hits it. Hits it from here, it's going to shine. Hits it from here, it's going to shine. Hits it from there, it's going to shine. Don't matter where the light hits it from, it's going to shine. You know what God does? When we get saved, God begins to make facets on us. He begins to cut us at an angle where we'll shine. Let me give you scripture for that. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow and the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." In Ephesians 2:10 it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God, when he saved us, he had a plan of how we're going to shine. And God takes the word of God and begins to work on our lives and cuts out those things in our life we don't need. Cuts that old nasty stuff off of us. Cuts those angles right so we can get a hold of that thing. And God works on us and gets us fasted so he can shine on us and let us reflect that light back out and become beautiful. So God finds us. God fasteneth us. That's hard for me to say. And then I want to give you this, and I want to show you how wonderful. In other words, God has to knock the edges off so we can shine. Does that make sense to you? That country enough for you? God has to take us and knock the corners off. Some of us has to knock pretty hard. Amen. Some of us, he's still working on me. Amen. But I want to show you how perfect our Bible is. You all know it's perfect, don't you? Take your Bible and turn to the book of Jude. Last book right before Revelation. Last book right before the last book. Amen. Second to last book of Jude. One chapter. That's all it is. One chapter. Look at verse 20. I'll read these verses. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy and of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some having compassion make a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted, by the flesh." Now look at verse 24. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling," now watch this, "and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The three things that when you measure a diamond, that gives it value. The first one is carat. How big is it? But that's not the end. You can have a big old carat of diamond and it be bad. I mean, I've seen people big old. I did some research when I bought. My wife's ain't big, but I did some research on that thing. I figured I was going to do it. I was going to get it right. Amen. And I've had people come at me and say, "Boy, look at my big old diamond." Don't get mad at me tonight. But I've had people come at me, look at this big old diamond. That thing was yellow. A yellow diamond does not have clarity. And the third thing is cut. That's the facets. Amen? So if you're going to shine, you got to have some cut. And you got to have some carrot. You got to be something for God. But you got to have some clarity. And here's the thing about it. Only God can present us before himself faultless. Because what he does is he takes the blood and washes away all our sins. And he's working on us. He's cutting us. And he's picked out the biggest one. He's picked us out. You say, "I ain't nobody." He picked you. You must be somebody. Don't ever call God. Don't ever call anything common that God cleanses. Amen. And then what is the final? Is the destiny of jewels. What is the destiny of jewels? Isaiah 61:10. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels." What is our destiny? Our destiny is to go to heaven for the wedding. That's our destiny. And every one of us that make up the church, every jewel of the church, will shine on that bride. Isn't that something? The bride of the church as a whole, as a body, is the bride. But every jewel on it is destined to shine when we get over there. We're going to shine over there. Now, we ought to shine here. But I tell you what, we get over there and all the cuts right, all the size is right, and all the clarity is right, I got a feeling we're going to have a time when we get to heaven. Heaven's going to be something. Heaven's going to be something. You understand what I'm saying tonight? We came from nothing, and God's going to do something with us. The Bible says over to Malachi, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day, in that day, when I make up my jewels." All you are, listen, now if you're saved, listen, if you're saved, the devil's going to tell you a lot of times, you ain't nobody, you ain't nothing. Hey, if you're saved, you're a jewel. Now, you may not shine like you ought to be, but you let God work on you, you'll shine. And listen, if you ever get a good glimmer, don't let no mud get on it. Amen. I've seen my wife, what she's got ain't big, but I've seen her like this, she look at it a little while, she said, getting dull. She's getting dull. And Brother Tony, one time I took her one of those women's thing up in Charlotte. All them women in there. Why'd you do that for, preacher? Because I love her. Because I love her. And I want to go with her. And she went around it, and you know what they got up there? They got all these things to clean up them diamonds. Boy, you give them to them, boy, they'll put that stuff down, that liquid in there, and down that liquid, washing of the Word, is what I think of. And they'll wash that thing, they'll get all that dirt over it, they'll brush it real good, and they'll come out of it, and it's like, I say, man, that thing shines. Well, that thing, and boy, it shines up. I tell you what, if we ever look at our lives and you're not shining like you have or like you want to, the only reason you're not is you need to get in the liquid. You need to let God clean you up. Let God use you. Because today is our day to shine. This is our season. If we're going to do anything for God, you need to do it right now. If you're going to start living for Him, you need to do it right now. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't say someday I'm going to get it right. Get it right today. And go and shine for the Lord. Don't be a man pleaser. Don't try to please men. Don't try to satisfy the world and what they expect. Don't worry about that. They'd put you right back down the mire. They don't care. See, that, to the world, every stone is the same thing. If I took that room in there and I filled it full of diamonds and stones and rocks, you'd feel all around in there. You'd never know the difference. Because all that darkness can't tell. Better I throw some diamonds on the floor right now. Some of you ladies be down on your knees. I know you. You'd be trying to find something because the light would make it beautiful. Amen. That's the key. Don't ever forget that the only reason you're beautiful is that He's shining on you. Let's all stand. That's the only reason. Every good and every perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights. Isn't that something? Which there is no shadow of turning. Amen. Every good thing comes from Him. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever brag on yourself. Boy, I tell you one thing. Boy, I sure did raise my children right. Oh, don't do that. My mom and dad, they'd come at mom and dad and say, how in the world did you raise two preacher boys? How did you raise? And the mom and dad say that. Say, we didn't do it. Well, no. I've heard my mom say that many times. People go, how in the world did you raise Ronnie? How you have another preacher boy? How'd you do it? My mom said, I have no idea. We just prayed, given the Lord. And God did it. It's not that they didn't try to raise us right. They did. They put their heart and life into us. They brought us all home, laid us on the bed, and gave every one of us back to the Lord. I know that for a fact. Laid every one of us on the bed and gave us back to the Lord. Every one of us. You know something? Every one of us. Don't you ever take credit for what God's done. Amen? Don't you ever take credit for what God's done. God done it. Amen? If these young people live right, you ought to glory and say, thank God they're living right. You ought to be a backlog Christian and push them on and say, thank God they're living right. Boy, I don't sit back and say, you know why Nellie's playing the piano in church? Because I'm such a good dad. She's doing it because the Lord done it. I'm telling you, church, don't ever take credit for God's light. The only reason you're beautiful, the only reason your life is good, is what God did it. Brother Tony, if you dismiss us tonight.